Thank you, Jesus, for your promise to finish the work you begun in us, even when it means after we depart this earth. Well, my dear heart dwellers, there needs to be some clarification about the doctrine of purgatory and the Roman Catholic Church, which is not the same church that we're following. We're following the early church, pre-Rome, before Rome, and all the changes that came. First of all, I'm going to change the name of purgatory to correspond more with the Gospels, because purgatory comes from a Latin word, so we will call it the Bible's name for it, which is purification. And I know you will say, wait a minute, that gets done on our way to heaven, doesn't it? You know, like a great spiritual shower washing away the spots, the wrinkles, and the blemishes. Well, apparently not, or Jesus wouldn't have said in Matthew 5:26, truly I say to you, you will never get out of prison till you have paid the last penny. The prison alluded to in verse 25 is purgatory, according to Tertullian, St. Cyprian, Ambrose, and Jerome. While the penny represents the most minor sins that one commits. Again, in 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through a fire. My dear ones, let me share with you what I believe this purification truly is. Have you ever done something really, really wrong that you didn't acknowledge as wrong before you did it, but tried to explain it away? Have you ever gossiped and hurt someone's reputation, causing them to lose their job or trouble in the marriage? Or perhaps you were in an accident where a child or adult was killed, and the accident was your fault. When you found out that you were in the wrong and were responsible for the suffering of innocent people, how did you feel? I have done things in my past that I was very ashamed of. And when the Lord confronted me with what I had done and who I had hurt, it was like molten metal being poured over my body. My face turned red, my knees started to shake, and I had to sit down. Possibly you got some bad news that caused that kind of reaction in you. I believe that that feeling is the fire of purification in realizing what I had done. It was shock. And I couldn't put my mind around it. All I could do was be dumb until God gave me the grace to acknowledge and face it. Now for us on this earth, we inhabit a body which acts as a buffer or insulation from the spiritual world, which is very intense energy. But when we leave the body behind, there is no longer any buffer. We are without food, water, distractions, bodily comforts, friends to call, excuses to make. We're stripped down to the naked soul, which is now under the fire of conviction, with no Ben and Jerry's to eat, no wine to drink, no one nearby to blame. We are like raw skin before the Lord. Every slight little breeze stings and burns when the top layer of skin has been removed. And at this point, I thought, you know, Lord, maybe you should explain this. And Jesus answered me and said, no, you're doing quite well, and this should be explained from a human point of view to understand what it is that burns. So please proceed. Okay. For example, when I was in the world and sinful, I thought I had a health problem because my feminine cycle had stopped. I just shoved it under the rug and kept on getting photography assignments. And right in the middle of the National Geographic assignment, I noticed some body changes. My belly was getting bigger, my pants wouldn't zip, and I thought, I must be sick. Well, I went to the doctor, and after testing me, he said, you are pregnant. I nearly fainted. I had been in denial. I have never felt anything so earth-shaking. Conviction flowed through me like fire. I was paralyzed and didn't know where to turn or what to do. I was in shock. Well, I believe that this is what purification by fire is all about. Burning conviction with no way to escape. Your life rolls out before you, and you feel like a complete fool. You're stunned because you're seeing the consequences of your sins for the first time in God's mirror. The Lord said he was coming for a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. A spot comes when you are involved in something unclean and it splashes on you, like gossip. It splatters all over your wedding gown. A wrinkle is what you develop from habitual patterns of sin that you refuse to deal with. A blemish is an uncleanness from inside of you that manifests as a stain from beneath your gown. It can also be a rip or a tear from being careless. In any case, these are things that you know you should deal with, but you cover them with denial until they hit you upside the head and you can no longer avoid or deny them. And I believe that if you have these patterns of sin and have not addressed them, that you will need to be purified before you can enter heaven. But I also believe that if you are not in denial, and you have been working on them with all your strength, I believe the Lord in his mercy may wipe them away. That is, however, if you have exercised mercy towards others. He who shows mercy will also be shown mercy. So I relate to the place of purification by fire as an inner state of searing conviction that causes me to review my actions and repent. God in his mercy has established, I believe, a place where we can go through this purifying fire and come out ready to enter heaven. Think about it for a moment. Let's say I was jealous of someone and spread malicious lies about them to ruin their reputation. I knew it was wrong, but I was driven to do it anyway by my bitterness. I tried and tried to smear them so they would never have a good reputation again. And this was a lifelong habit I had kept hidden from others, but still did to every person that offended me or made me jealous. Then let's suppose I got into a car wreck, was thrown 50 feet in the air, and died upon impact. Now, I had accepted the Lord as my Savior, gone to church, prayed, tithed, and fed the poor, and I really did love Jesus. But I was self-righteous in my thinking and thought of the persons that offended me, that they should be brought down. So I continued in this evil habit, ruining the lives of many people along the way. Now, I didn't do that. I'm just giving you an example. So what do you think? Should Jesus take such a person to heaven, where they will no doubt be jealous of everyone? Should he send them to hell? Or should he take them to a place of purification where they can truly learn that what they were doing was wrong and at the same time truly want to stop? You see, purgatory or the place of purification is God's great mercy at work. Have you ever wondered why people take so long to die? I believe they have unfinished business, unforgiveness, lack of repentance, for the sins of omission and commission, and the harm they've caused others. And rather than sending them to be purified, the Lord lets them live and suffer for a very long time. And I believe a great deal of business is taken care of when they're sleeping or suffering or lonely. The Lord gave Ezekiel a very real example of this the other night. He was suffering and knew that it was for someone, but didn't know who. Then he saw a man dressed in a suit walk across the room and come and stand at the foot of his bed. This man communicated to Ezekiel, "Thank you for praying for me. I can go home now." This was a man who had been in purification and was suffering deep remorse, and because we on earth prayed for him, he was released and able to enter heaven, purified. Now the good news, the souls in purification can pray for us. They have already made the same mistakes that we're making, and they can relate to our weakness. In their situation, they have nowhere to go, only time to repent and cry. So the Lord gives them an opportunity to be charitable to others that are on the earth and do not know how bad off they are in God's eyes. And we, in turn, pray for them to be released quickly. As I had mentioned about Ezekiel's father, after 10 years he was detained in the place of purification, but was allowed to visit his son. He said to Ezekiel, "All I need are 3 more masses, and I can go home." Lord, do you have something to share? My dove, you have done very well, yet no one can plumb the depths of my mercy and predict who will be detained in the purifying fires and who will not. This is one reason why my father is taking so long to give the word for the rapture to begin. I do not want to see any of my brides excluded from the wedding feast because they were detained for purification. Yes, there will be some who will, but the ones who are willing to suffer and work hard on their faults, they will come with me to the wedding banquet. This is another reason why I told the parable of the wedding feast and the man improperly dressed. His sin had worn his clothing threadbare, filthy and unfit for a celebration. He had a long habit of not repenting, and therefore he was unfit for the feast. He was saved, though, by his confession of me as his Savior. But the others came to me each day and wept over their sins, begging me to deliver them, and doing many acts of reparation, not only for their sins, but for the sins of others. You ask, what is reparation? It is the soul who sees the evil that is done in the world and is struck to the core by insults against me, abortions, dishonest governments, and all manner of unrighteousness. And there are those who are so united with me. When I grieve, they grieve, and in this way they are repairing the damage of those who sinned against me. And that brings me comfort. There is no pat answer as to whether or not you will need purifying, but if you love me with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and love your brother as yourself, you have very little to worry about. Rather, you will constantly be aware of temptations, faults, and lapses, and you will repent immediately. Remember, my heart is a heart of mercy, and I see every teardrop you cry over others and cry over your sins. And though you are weak, I am full of mercy for you because of the way you have been merciful to others. Purify yourselves, my brides, especially in this hour, from sloth, which hurts the entire body and deprives them of the nourishment you could have given if only you had tried a little harder. And that was the end of Jesus' message. And I feel very convicted about that sloth. I'm working really hard on my music. It's important to me because there's so many messages from heaven there. I don't want anyone to miss the comfort they could get from these songs, so I'm really pushing it on this end. Well, in conclusion, dear heart dwellers, I want to say that we are returning to the early church, the way it was before Rome. The truths the Lord has given us are the living fulfillment of his many allegories and teachings that were strictly defended and adhered to by the famous Christian leaders such as St. Cyprian, Ambrose, Jerome, Pope St. Gregory, Tertullian, St. Anthony, other church apostles and martyrs that formed a bedrock foundation of his church, living stones. I want to take a moment and thank you who have been supporting us every month. Your generosity means so much to us, both because we know that you believe in us and also because you want us to continue to do the work we're doing. And we're moving ahead slowly as donations come in for big projects on the refuge of my Sacred Heart, a remote and beautiful place consecrated for prayer in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. We will share more about this in our newsletter, So be sure to sign up at heartdwellers.org for more details. Please try to be patient with me. Some of you have sent us letters and donations, and I haven't answered you yet. But I will get back to you as soon as I can. And you know, I continue to ask myself, why are we doing this? Because it's a huge, monumental project. And the answer comes simply, because it is really, really needed. Not only will this be a place to live for a few dedicated souls, but also we will be training and equipping those to go out in the world and bring in the harvest through dwelling in His heart. Souls that are not legalistic, but dedicated to the truth. Souls who do not judge others, do not argue doctrine or get entangled in worldly affairs, seeking money. Souls that have the complete truth from the early church and Bible truth from the contemporary church, but love their brothers as themselves and are longing to bring others into this deep place of intimacy. Thank you so much for believing in us.